what we're going to talk about is missions. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be in missions. We're not going to be in the book of 1 Peter. And we're going to talk about the importance of missions and missionaries and sending people out and sharing the gospel, maybe becoming a missionary ourselves. Amen. And so how many here, just out of curiosity, you would be honest enough to say, I'm very nervous to share the gospel. Raise your hand. Okay, I got three, four. All right. And then I got the rest are like, I am, but I ain't telling you. And or you say, hey, listen, I'm very nervous about sharing the gospel because the truth is I'm scared because I don't know the Bible well enough. How many would say that? There you go. Okay. That typically seems to be the majority of people's problem is I would love to tell somebody about Jesus, but what if they start asking me questions and I don't know the answer? That's where we get nervous. Amen. Because we're afraid, well, what if I say something wrong? Or what if, you know, because let's face it, these atheists, man, they're pretty tricky. They'll tell you Jesus doesn't exist, and you'll tell them Jesus does exist, and then it's like this rat race, right, back and forth, and I don't know where to go from there. And then we go into this, we start backing up. But what if God told you need to share the gospel with someone? And you say, but Lord, I'm not prepared. And God's like, I didn't tell you, I didn't ask if you were prepared. I told you to share Jesus. What if that were to come about? And then what if God were to hold you accountable if you were disobedient? What if? Like, these are all what ifs, because the truth is, I'm going to share some passages with you that I can't attach it to us. And you're like, well, then why are you going to tell me something in the Bible that doesn't mean anything to me? Because today is what if? What if God told us to do something, we were disobedient, and then God held us accountable for our disobedience? What if? That's a big question, amen? Today, that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to show you in some scriptures. We're going to talk about some men that were given very, very clear orders to do what God made it very clear. He said, hey, this is what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, then the price will be on your head. Now, for me, that makes me very nervous. I'm already guilty of enough. Amen. Praise God for forgiveness. Praise God for when salvation comes, everything in the past is gone, forgiven. Amen. In Ezekiel, though, God calls Ezekiel to do a job. As we read Ezekiel chapter 33, I want to point out very specifically, I want you to hear me, like you have to hear me clearly. For me to take this passage that's directed toward Ezekiel and say that it applies to us is completely wrong and out of context and very poor hermeneutics. Very poor. So we're going to look at this passage and we're going to look at how God is going to hold Ezekiel accountable and then ask the question, would he do the same for me or to me? That's really what we come down to. Because how many here you know beyond a shadow of a doubt God told you to do something and you didn't do it at some point in time in your life, right? Yeah, usually I'm always, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm in. And then there were times in my life where God said, hey, I want you to turn around. And because I would be driving down the road, I want you to turn around and go change that man's flat tire that was broke down on the side of the road. And I go, Lord, any other time, I'm more than willing. But today, I got a schedule to keep. You're messing up my schedule. And God said, no. Turn around and go change that man's flat tire. To which I responded, and this really happened. To which I responded, Lord, he's a big boy. He can change his own flat tire. To which God responded, now. And I responded like a 2-year-old. fine, no problem. And I whipped that van around and drove over the center median. Man, my van is just bouncing all around. And I'm like, fine, you want me to change this tire? I'll go change it. Like, now I'm mad. Anybody ever been there? Maybe not in the van, but pretty close, right? And I turn around and I go up and I pull in front because for those of you who are like, why you? I had a mobile repair service. So I had the jack. I had all the air tools, all the equipment. It literally, like, I am NASCAR when I pull up. Get out. Like, it's legit. I could have where it would take him 30 minutes, 40 minutes to change a tire. It literally takes me 6-7 minutes to change a tire. So I pull up, get in front of the car, and the guy's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm so glad you stopped. Get the tire out. Just get the tire out. I don't have time to be nice. Like, you think I'm kidding you? That's how I was treating this guy. And he's like, well, man, I really appreciate that. Just get your tire out. I'll get my tools. We'll get this done. You can go home. I'm so irritated because I'm going to be late to my meeting. I have a guy waiting on me to fix his car, and he's waiting for me. He's going to be waiting on me to get there, and I hate that. Amen. I want to be there waiting on them. And so he goes and gets his tire out, and I get my stuff out, and then he's talking to me while I'm changing the tire, and I'm like, dude, I don't even want you to talk to me. Like, go sit on the bank or something while I do this. I'm done. I don't want to hear from you. I don't even want to be here. I'm here completely against my will. I didn't tell him that. But in my brain, I'm like, just be quiet. Zip, 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 zip. Because I got air tools, right? And then I get the tire changed. And as I go to put my stuff away, God said, give him a Jesus Loves You tract. Because that's what I'd have. Like, back here, we got, if you die today, no, I'm kidding. We have different tracks on the back wall. If you ever want one, take several, give them, hand them out. It makes your job so much easier because you don't have to know it. You can just read it. And if you don't know how to read, that's even better yet. We had a guy that we went to church with who didn't know how to read, and he'd take handfuls of those tracks, and then he'd go down to the mall, and he'd sit down, and people would come by, and he'd go, excuse me, and they'd go, yeah, and he goes, somebody gave me this, and I don't know how to read. And he wasn't lying, he didn't know how to read. He'd go, would you read this to me? And he would lead the multitude of people to the Lord because he didn't know how to read. Right? Think about that. So your excuses are disappearing with every word I speak. So God says, give him a track. I'm like, oh, all right, Lord. So I hand him this track. And all of a sudden, his whole demeanor, he's been so kind to me this whole time, but now you can see everything about him changes. And it caught my eye. I noticed, like, This struck a nerve with him. And this was like literally a month after 9/11. And he said, I've been asking God. I've been scared. I don't even know. Like, is there more? What's going on since 9/11, since the towers fell? I don't know what to do. And thank you. And then all of a sudden, my whole demeanor changed. And now I'm like, Lord, forgive me. So I start sharing with him. Right there on the side of the road, I lead him to the Lord. I give him my information. He gives me his information. I check up on him every now and then, every few months. He's doing great. He's in church. The following year, he sends me a message. Hey, just want to let you know, I led both of my boys to the Lord. And I'm like, yeah! The next year, because he said, pray for my wife. She's very reluctant. She's fighting this. 2 years go by. He sends me a message. Hey, just want to let you know, my wife got saved. All because you stopped and changed my tire. And I thought, oh my goodness, Lord. And I still think about that to this day. And now you know when it happened. Because it was a month after 9/11. Well, to go back to the story, after I lead him to the Lord, we're on the side of the road, traffic's going by. Man, he's crying, I'm crying, it's a glorious day now, right? He has no clue of the guilt that I'm carrying for fighting God in this. Not to mention the mess I made in my van going over that stupid cement curb that caused everything to fly off the shelves because my truck's doing this. Right? We get silly when we get disobedient, don't we? When we feel like we're inconvenienced. So I leave him after changing his tire and leading him to the Lord. I leave there. Now I'm praising Jesus as I'm asking for forgiveness. And I call my next stop because I'm a half hour late at this point. And I call him. I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm on my way. I'll be there in 20 minutes. I never like to leave people waiting. I'm so sorry. And he's like, hey, John, no problem, man. I meant to call you. I'm not going to get there for 30 minutes, so take your time. I'm running way behind. See, God already fixed it. God allowed me to do his work and keep my testimony. I'm just going to tell you, when God calls us, he'll align it. When God moves us, he'll align it. When God uses us and we are obedient to be used, we're blessed. God takes care of it. When we're defiant, I wonder if there's a requirement of us. I wonder. Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read 33 through 30, chapter 36, I'm kidding, 33 through verse 6. And it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man. Now, I'm going to tell you right here that this is very specific to Ezekiel. To say that this applies to us is completely out of context and it's wrong. And I don't believe, and I don't care who teaches this or preaches this or goes through it, this is very specific to Ezekiel. And the Lord said to me, son of man. So this is very specific to Ezekiel. We're not going to take it out of context. And let me just throw this out there. I'm putting this out there. You need to hear this one. If you feel like junk at the end of this service, or you're sitting there and you're feeling guilty, I'm not making you feel guilty. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm just sharing information. So don't get up and leave here going, oh, pastor, you're just trying to make us feel guilty, like we're going to share Jesus or something. Nope. If you feel bad, you talk to God about it. I'm just sharing what God told Ezekiel. And then when we get to the book of Acts, what God told Paul, or what Paul told the people. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that this applies to us. What I'm saying is, what if the same thing applies to us? Today's a question. I don't even have an answer for you, biblically speaking, to where I could say, this is us, man. God's going to hold you to the fire over this. That's why, if my wife's listening, the title to the message is, what if? There we go. Ezekiel 33:1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Listen, if the land or if someone calls, and that's what he's saying, if someone appoints someone else to be the watchman. So God has appointed me to be the watchman over you. In Connecting Point Church, and to anybody else I see. That's very clear to me. God's made it very clear to me. I have no problems with it until it's inconveniencing me. Then I got a problem. Amen. Everybody's, come on, guys, make me feel better. and so here is, this is applicable to Ezekiel, but what if it's applicable to us? Because he says, for if the land or if someone chooses a watchman, then this is their job. So what if it actually does apply to us? Hermeneutics says it doesn't, but the question is still left unanswered as far as I'm concerned. Amen? I mean, it's still a reasonable question, because if you're appointed to do a job and you don't do the job, then you're held responsible for failure to do the job. Someone say amen. All right. I know some of you are like, I don't like where you're going, Pastor. I knew that before I started. I even told Buck, they ain't going to like where I'm going. Here we go. So he says here, listen, if you got a watchman and the watchman says, hey, be careful. Whoa, stop. Remember the bridge? Last week I talked about the bridge being out. And if that person's saying, whoa, the bridge is out. Stop. And they're like, man, I ain't stopping. I got to get somewhere. And they roll right on past them. And they go over the bridge and die. Whose fault is it? It's the one driving the car. But if the man's standing at the bridge and he's like, man, that bridge is out and that dude ain't slowing down a bit. I knew that was coming. Whose fault is it? It was the watchman that was standing knowing the bridge was out. So when I asked the question, what if, guys, I'm just telling you, what if this actually does apply to us? And so here, if the watchman sounds the alarm and someone dies, the watchman's innocent. The blood is on the one of iniquity, the one who chose not to listen. So then we get over here, because in verse 4 it says, his blood shall be on his own head. Then we get into verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. So then we hit verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, then he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, in other words, he's going to die in his sin. That's iniquity, a sin. So he's going to die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Now, the reason I say what if is because he starts in 33:1 and he says to Ezekiel, son of man, and then he unfolds it. But here he explains this is for any watchman. Yes? Did you see it? Let's read it again. Here he says in verse 6, but if the watchman, right? He already made it clear. If it's whoever's appointed to share the message or to sound the trumpet or to blow the horn or to warn of the bridge being out, if the watchman doesn't do his job, so now he's referencing any watchman, not just Ezekiel where he started in verse 1. Any watchman. If the watchman, right? So now, what if this applies to all of humanity, to every watchman? Do me a favor, Mike, pull up Ezekiel 33:6, please, if you'll do that. 33:6 and 33:7, 8, 9, and 10. I want everybody to join in with me. But if the watchman... That means, but if the person that was chosen to sound the alarm. Amen? So now, the what if may apply to you and me to this day. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, doesn't sound the alarm, doesn't warn them, hey, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, in his sin. His sin is what killed him. But his blood is going to be, he says, his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. The watchmen are now going to be, his blood is going to be on the watchman's hand. God's going to hold him accountable. It's amazing how God actually holds people responsible for their own responsibilities. It's just amazing to me, amen? I mean, today we give everyone a free pass. I understand you're shy. You just go ahead and you're okay. You deal with it. God loves you. Isn't that what we do? But that's not what God does. So if this does apply to us, should we not err on the side of caution? Should we not take serious the word of God and understand that those who die, that God says, hey, Buck, you share the gospel. Now, go over there and share the gospel with them. And Buck's like, God, I ain't got time. And walks on, and that person dies in a car accident when they leave that spot. You think God's going to hold Buck accountable? I think he will. What's the most important thing we have to do but the Lord's work? It's what's done for Christ that will last. Everything else fades away. All of our works are going to be burned up. And it's either going to come out as silver and gold and be refined, or it's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. To no avail, of uselessness. And so what if, when we see at the top of 6, it says, but if the watchman. See, if this was specific to Ezekiel and didn't apply to all watchmen, then I believe it would have read, but if you see the sword coming, right? Don't you think it would be more directed to Ezekiel? I think it would. Now, listen, I'm not going to stand here and say that this applies to us, because this is Old Testament. I love when people go, you can't use that verse, Pastor. It's Old Testament. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And so Old Testament doesn't count today. What if it does? See, I love the what if, because it gives me so much freedom to just throw it out there and let it fall where it may. Here we go, verse 7. So in verse 6, he says, his blood, the watchman's blood, will be required at the hands of the watchman. And who's the watchman? Whoever has been chosen to share the word. Verse 7, so you, son of man, now, have you noticed in verse 7, it goes right back to Ezekiel specifically. Remember in verse 1, the Lord called Ezekiel, son of man. In 6, he says, if the watchman's chosen, he's got a job. If he doesn't do his job, he's held responsible. Then we get back. Now, this is very personal again. Now, Ezekiel, but you, Ezekiel, would fit absolutely perfect, because remember, Ezekiel is being referenced as the son of man. But you, Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman. Now, this is applicable strictly to Ezekiel and no one else. I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And so now is very specific. Ezekiel, you are to be the watchman for Israel, the Israelites. Those are my chosen. See, God's word is very clear. If we're willing to say what if, or look at it and read it and understand it. And he says, therefore, because, what do you mean therefore? We don't have to go back too far to understand the therefore. The therefore is the beginning of verse 7. So you, son of man, you, Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore, because you are the watchman of the house of Israel, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. That's literally what this verse says. So the verse 6, could apply to anyone, and it's quite possible could apply to us today. And the reason I say that is because of next week's message is going to, we're going to like pick up next week from this week, and we're going to be in Matthew next week, because in Matthew, God says, go and tell. All of a sudden, we are the watchmen. And the coolest part about that, that's New Testament, so I don't have to stretch it. Amen? In the New Testament in Matthew, we are going to be told to go and tell. Tell what? Tell about Jesus. Tell everyone about Jesus. And how do we know it's everyone? Well, come next week and we're going to unfold that passage. I don't want to preach next week, this week, and then this week, next week, because then you guys might get confused. Here we go. Verse 8. So in 7, he tells Ezekiel, you're going to tell them what I tell you to tell them. Verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. This is what God wants them to know. You shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. If you do not tell the people that they are going to die because of their iniquity, their sin, after I've told you to tell them, and they die without knowing, their blood is on your hands. I will hold you responsible. Isn't that what we do today in the law today? If someone kills someone, what do we want? We want justice and hold them accountable, right? Don't we want to do that? If someone steals something from you, especially from you, if they steal it from someone else, you're like, oh, that's a bad day. They steal it from you, you're like, I want someone held accountable for this. Right? When it becomes very personal, all of a sudden we want justice and we want responsibility and accountability. But if it doesn't involve us, well, then it's okay. I hate it for them. Right? Oh, I hate that to be me. And so God says, listen, I'm telling you, if I've told you to tell someone and you don't tell someone, this is on your head. And believe it or not, contrary to society, God actually holds people accountable. You will be held accountable. God is not a liar. Amen? And so here in 8, he tells Ezekiel, you will be held accountable. Go to verse 9. And then in verse 9, he picks up and he says, nevertheless. Okay, don't let verse 8 weigh you down too heavy. Here's a way out. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity or in his sinfulness, in his sin. But you have delivered your soul. God's going to find compassion toward you because you did what you were told to do. Now, does that mean that if you don't tell someone that you're going to hell? No, that's not what that means. What it means is God will not hold you accountable for being disobedient. So at the judgment seat of Christ, which we talked about last week, and listen, I was a little dumbfounded about last week. I'm not going to lie to you. Last week, people had a huge struggle with the fact that I said that God is going to hold you accountable, that God said you will give an account for everything you've done, and that God will judge you. Now, well, let me help you here just for a minute. I was reading Scripture. There for the whole everybody here to see and online, because it goes up on the screen so everybody at home can see it. I was reading Scripture and they were infuriated. How dare you think God's going to judge us? God's love. God is love. But God is also a judge of righteousness. And God says, I will hold you accountable for everything you do against me. Unless you repent. Remember I said repentance is the eraser? Guess what? So is obedience. Because if you're obedient, you don't need the eraser. And God says here in verse 8, if you're not obedient and someone dies without hearing the truth, the blood will be on your head. Verse 9, he says, but if you do as I've asked you, then you've delivered your soul. In other words, I'm not going to hold you accountable for disobedience. Now, As we read this, we clearly see the Son of Man as Ezekiel, but who's the watchman? See, that's the what if. What if the watchman applies to us today? What if? What if God's called you to do something and you're being disobedient? Do you honestly think you're going to get away with it? No, no, no. God's not going to let you get away with it. He's not going to let me get away with it either. I want you to turn to the Acts chapter 18. Guys, you can put this up on the screen too, if you want. We're going to start in Acts 18, verse 1. Acts 18, verse 1. See if I can make this happen electronically. So in Acts 18, 1, we come to Paul. Paul is sharing the gospel. He's getting ready to wind down on the end of his ministries. He is going to be going to Rome here. He goes from here to Rome where they're going to beat him and persecute him. And listen, this isn't going to be good for Paul. Just for the record, this is the beginning of the end for Paul. So in 18:1, he says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Verse 2, and we're going to read all the way down through 8, just in case I want to go a little further. That way you know, Mike. So he says, verse 2, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. Verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for by occupation. They were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Reasoned in the synagogue. He preached the gospel in the synagogues. And he persuaded them that Jesus was the truth and the only way to heaven. And without Jesus, there is no other way. This is what he persuaded them of, right? And so he persuades them, both Jews and the Greeks, and people start getting saved. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And I find it real interesting that, you know, usually the people that had the biggest problem with Jesus were the ones that Jesus chose as his people. Right? Sometimes you're like, Lord, I know you know everything, but why? Right? Maybe that's just me. Verse 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Verse 7, and he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. And then he goes on. What I want you to see here in verse 6 is Paul says, my hands are clean of your blood because I shared the gospel. I shared the gospel. Now, we read the same thing in Ezekiel, the Old Testament, where God said, if you're the watchman, I've given you a message. I've told you what to do. I want you to do it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. And I said, what if? Like, what if the Old Testament really did apply to us today? Paul seems to think it does. Amen? Does it not appear here that Paul's like, hey, listen, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. God will not hold me accountable for your iniquity. I was the watchman. He gave me a message, and I spoke it very clearly. Right? And we know that Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. After that, if you read it, he says that he was taught not by man, but by God. That would have been Jesus for 3 years. And then he started his ministry. And now he's preaching the gospel. He's coming toward the end. And he's like, listen, you know what? You oppose me? You don't want to hear it? No problem. The blood's on your head, not mine. Kind of leads you to believe that the watchman in Ezekiel chapter 33, when he says, for if one's the watchman, that it would apply to Paul in his day, which I believe it didn't stop. I believe it applies to us in our day. Now, can I run a stake in the ground and die on that one? Nope. That's why I said, what if? I'm using my escape route. Amen? What if? But what if it is still applicable to you and I today? I'm just curious if the what if is a yes, that it's applicable to us today, that we're not obedient, we don't share the gospel with someone that God has specifically said to share the gospel with, and we knew when we walked away, man, I should have told him. What if their blood is on your hands or my hands if they die without Jesus because we weren't obedient? What if that's still true today? It was true in Ezekiel. It was true with Paul, obviously. I believe it's true today. And you know why I believe? I believe it is today because we have a verse that we are told to go and tell people. And so I personally believe, not necessarily that Ezekiel applies to us, but that God's going to hold us responsible for people who die without the knowledge of Jesus because you didn't do your job or I didn't do mine. That's where you go, Pastor, you're making me feel guilty. No, I'm just simply sharing the truth with you so you can lessen the guilt you carry. You're welcome. So I want you to see in verse 7 and then in 8, Jesus goes on, or Acts 7, 18, 7 and 8, Paul goes on and shares Jesus. Verse 9, I want you to see in verse 9. Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. It goes on in 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And then he goes on. I'm not going to keep reading here because I want to jump to some other scriptures, but I want you to see that God said, Paul, speak and I'm going to protect you. But that protection was only for a short time because eventually Paul's going to get persecuted when he goes to Rome. But he's going to this town, and so in this town, Jesus says, listen, don't be fearful. I have many people there. They will help you. It's when we find that Paul leaves here and goes to Rome, they're begging him, Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul's like, I got to go. Why? Because I was told to. Paul, if you go, they're going to beat you and they're going to put you in prison. And Paul, if you go, your life is over. And Paul's like, I know, but I got to go. I've been called to be the watchman now. And I got to go sound the alarm. But you'll die. But I'm obedient. And if I stay here where it's safe and they die, I'm held responsible for them because I was disobedient. If I go and tell them and I die, I get a crown. I get a martyr's crown. God recognizes my faith. God recognizes my faithfulness. God recognizes my bravery. God recognizes my obedience, and He rewards me for it. But if I stay back, I'm a coward, and I'm a disobedient coward. And God will hold me responsible for the blood of the men and the women and the children that didn't hear because I didn't go and do my job. See, I believe with all of my heart that if God tells us to tell someone about His Son, if the Father tells us to tell someone about His Son, Jesus, and we use the excuse of, I'm shy, I don't know the word well enough. Oh, well, not me, because, No. God will hold you, and He'll hold me accountable. I'm just saying, because I see it all through Scripture where God says to go, go, go. We find that when they don't go in Ezekiel, the blood's on the one on the watchman's hands that is negligent. We find in the book of Acts the very same thing. Paul makes it very clear. Then I want you to go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 13. Acts 20, verse 13. That's where we will start. And we're going to go 13 through 27. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board. For so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos, stayed at the... Am I there? 2013. And then verse 16, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, the day of Pentecost. That is not what I want. Hold on, guys. I've written down the wrong passage. Yep, okay, let's just keep reading. Verse 18, 17. That's where I should have started. From Miletus he went, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is establishing what he was doing. I was preaching the gospel. I was being obedient. God called me this group of people, and this is what I was doing. I was being obedient. Verse 22, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things, in verse 24, none of these things move me. In other words, okay, it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be, and we're going to still move forward. But Paul, it's your life. Hey, listen, it's not my life. Because no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. It's not my life. It's the ones that I fail to tell. It's their life that matters right now. See, when we get caught up with us, we forget why Jesus came. And he came for the lost. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I understand in today's world it is so easy to become a recluse, amen, and to just go, I can't take it anymore, I can't deal with it anymore. The level of the unintelligent, I had to take a moment to think for that word, is sometimes absolutely beyond me. I'm like, Lord, you can't fix that. I can't deal with that. It has exceeded the limitations of medication. And we want to hide out. But God's like, no, you need to go. Because the reality is, we were that silly before we got saved in the eyes of God. Amen? You like how I used all those kind words? Verse 25. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. So here's where he's getting ready to go to Rome. My apologies, I said that in the last one. It was actually in this passage. Verse 25, or 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day, because you're not going to see me anymore. So I'm going to tell you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Because what Paul said, he goes on in 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I have not been disobedient. I have done exactly what God asked me to do, and that is to share and to preach salvation through Jesus alone. So when I die, nobody's blood is going to be on my hands. And so I ask this question. What if the watchman in Ezekiel is you and I? Remember he says, for if the watchman fails to tell someone, the blood is on the watchman's hands. And then the next verse he says, but you, son of man, but you, Ezekiel. So again, I'm just looking in Ezekiel, is the watchman you and I? Is that applicable to you and I today? The book of Acts, Paul believed that it was applicable to him. Because we see twice where he said, their blood is not on my hands. I am innocent. I am innocent because I preach the gospel. And we know that because here in the beginning, he's like, I preached the gospel. I told everyone, Jew or Gentile, it didn't matter. I told everyone. They shunned me. They didn't want to hear the gospel. Therefore, their blood's not on my hands because I told the gospel. See, Paul's very clear about what he did. So he knows his days are coming to an end because he said, you'll never see my face again. But man's blood is not on my hands. So guys, next week we're going to talk about our call to go and tell. And I just have this question. What if God's going to hold you and I accountable for our silence? What if? It's so funny because I have people tell me, those that call me Pastor John, don't you think you need to ease up a little bit? You're making a lot of people mad. Okay. What's my motive? If my motive's sinful, I need to ease up. But if my motive is to get someone saved, I need to be willing to charge hell with a squirt gun to get it done. Then I have people tell me, Pastor, or those that aren't here, and they'll reach out to me, John, you need to stop it. Stop what? You're a fear monger. Really? How? Because you do this, 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 and this. Is any of it a lie? No. Then you need to stop it. I'm doing my job. Amen? Guys, I'm just going to tell you that God has called us, and I'm also going to tell you this. You know, everybody's preaching, all these other churches, they're preaching love, 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 love your neighbor, accept them the way they are. Because they're all sinners and he loves them just the way they are. And you know what? You don't judge a man because that's up to God. God tells me if you're ungodly, I need to tell you you're ungodly. You know what that means? I got to judge your actions. Well, Pastor John, you're just spreading hate. So all this love and accept your neighbor the way they are and give them permission to sin the way they sin, what's that done for our culture and our society? You know, the most powerful message ever preached changed an entire city and country. You might want to Google it. He's a way better preacher than I am. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. sinners in the hands of an angry God. Well, that's hate. How dare you say God's angry? How about this? God says, if you don't tell someone about Jesus and they die, their blood is on your hands. But I didn't have nothing to do with that. It was his choice, their choice, her choice. They chose to sin. They chose to do what they chose to do. How am I held responsible for what they did? Oh, no, no, no. They're not held responsible. You're not held responsible for what they did. I'm holding you responsible for what you didn't do. See the difference, guys? And so my question for you is, what if their blood is on our hands? What if God's actually going to hold you and I accountable for our silence? I already know they don't want to hear it. I got an email. Well, of course, Facebook's always ready to cancel me. And YouTube, I got a thing in YouTube. They took my podcast down and said, this is my warning. And if I do it again, they'll delete the channel. And I'm like, do I put up the next one I was planning on? Because the next one follows the same theme. Do you know what the theme was in the podcast that they took down and said it went against their community standards? They don't have no standards. I responded because Facebook said, hey, if you don't agree with this, you can respond here. So last night I took a moment to tell them what commies they are. Oh, I did. Listen, delete me. You almost did it the last time you threatened it. Save me time. I don't care. In Messenger, I don't have any of this on my phone, so I have to wait until I sit down on my computer and I open it up, and then there's Messenger. I get it. I made my page public so the whole world can see how hateful I am. And a guy responded with some crazy obscenities. I'm like, wow, I haven't read this kind of language in years. Thanks for the reminder, it's still out there. And at the end of it was, if I knew where you lived. Well, if you were that bright, you'd look on my page and see the groups I follow. And you'd see where I lived. Should I be silent? Should I be silent? Guys, people are dying and going to hell every day. Every day. Every day. How silent should I be? How silent should you be? Who do you know that's going to die and go to hell? Or maybe I could just ask it this way. Who do you know that doesn't know Jesus? You can tell them Jesus loves them. Or you can tell them Jesus is a righteous, holy God that judges sinners, and your iniquity is going to send you to hell if you don't stop and repent. The reality is, guys, we're living in a dying world, a rapidly dying world, a world that is canceling the things of God, canceling Christians, canceling the Word of God, canceling anything that is good and righteous and upright, canceling all of it. California just passed a law where, guess what? Little children are in part of the curriculum. Little children are going to be chanting to Aztec. Do you know who Aztec is? Aztec is to the god of child sacrifice. And they just passed a curriculum that they're going to teach the children how to chant to the god of child sacrifice, Aztec. And people are like, oh, wait, as long as it ain't in my school, it's on its way. Ugh. I took extra blood pressure medicine this morning. And I'm trying not to exceed your limit or mine. But when do we wake up? And when do we realize it is in our house and it is in our living room and it is in the bedroom and it's on your phone, it's everywhere you go. We cannot escape it. And if we don't speak up against it, This censoring, they're not, listen, they're not censoring pedophiles. They're not censoring homosexuals. They're not censoring those who hate Christians. They're not censoring those who stand against what is right. They're not censoring any of that. They're allowing it to permeate every fiber of our being. But if we speak up, we're to be censored. And so we think, put a stinking mask on and be quiet. And I'm telling you, rip it off and scream at the top of your lungs. We're losing our families and our countries. We're losing everything. And you know why? Somebody's blood is on our hands. And you know why? Because God will hold you and I accountable for our silence. It is what it is. I'm just telling you. Man, and you might walk out of here and you might want to send me a nasty email. I'm used to them. You might want to tell me just how wrong I am, and I'm going to tell you this. Give me a verse. I don't give a rip about your opinion. Give me a verse. And you might say, well, Pastor, you keep preaching like this, the church is going to empty. I'm not held accountable. You are, because I said it. Right? Amen? Listen, guys, I'm telling you, at what point do we stop and say, I am not going to be afraid of man. I'm going to stand for the things of God. And I don't care if you like me. I am not here to win fans. And anybody that knows me realizes that already. What am I here for? Your soul. I'm here for your soul. You don't have to like me. I don't even expect it. It makes life easier. But that's not what I'm up here for. I'm up here to tell you God's going to have the blood of people on your hands. And He's going to hold you accountable if you don't do what He's asked you to do. Debbie got baptized this morning. Girl, I love you. You blessed my soul. But if we're silent, do we ever experience that? Do we ever see a changed life? Nicole, Jesse, do your kids ask you how to get to heaven and what Jesus is about and how heaven is if you're silent? No, your children will die and go to hell. Guys, we need to wake up. Look at the world, man. Like, seriously, look at the world. There's no favors for Christians in this world. The multitude are on the train heading to death. Don't let them find their own way because the world is directing them. If you say find your own way, the only way they can follow is the world. Let me challenge you today. Don't wait on God to tell you to go. Just go and wait for God to tell you to stop. Make sure nobody's blood is on your hands. Make sure we minimize those who go to hell. Be the salt and the light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us. Father, forgive us where we have failed you. Forgive us for being silent. Father, forgive us for being afraid of man. Father, forgive us for satisfying our own lust and our own desires at the expense of someone else's life. Father, forgive us when we're ashamed of your Son, Jesus. Father, forgive us when our insides recoil when someone talks about Jesus in front of friends that we have that don't believe. Father, forgive us for worrying more about what other people think rather than what you think. Father, forgive us for kicking you out of the house instead of kicking the sinners out of the house. Father, forgive us. Father, wash our hands clean. Father, help us to have the attitude that we want to stand before you holy and clean and righteous. And Father, that we come before you with angst in our bones to hear your words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That excitement is so overwhelming within us, Father, we can't control ourselves. Waiting to hear your words. Waiting to know that we have pleased you, Father, in our actions and our deeds. Father, I pray that you would use us in amazing ways. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me assure you, you're not going to heaven. You will be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell of torment, ugly, ugly, ugly world. I am not trying to scare you. I don't move you. I don't play emotional games. I just simply tell you what the Word of God says. And you will have to deal with that. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to fix it. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, died on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried, conquered death and hell, raised on the third day, and is now at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that if you believe that, then heaven can be your home. And so if it's your desire, because you believe that, it's your desire to live for Christ, I want you to pray this prayer. The words aren't magical. The words aren't going to save you. What saves you is that you actually believe the words in your heart. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the prayer is just simply like a roadmap to guide you through it so it makes sense, and it gives you a time stamp on the day you surrendered your life to Jesus. So if that's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Father in heaven, today I surrender. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe He is the only way to heaven. I believe in my heart, not my head, that He died for me and He's my Savior. I believe He was born of a virgin, died on the cross, conquered death and hell, rose the third day, and He's at the right hand of you right now. Today I repent of all my sins. I turn away from all the wrong that I do, and I aim all of my energy to do it your way, to follow you, to bring glory to you. Forgive me of all my sins. Give me the power to walk in righteousness.